Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Pastor George is back with us today, and he's got some good things. This name of this teaching, or part of it, is going to be the command to expand.
Oh, I like that. So I like that too, Gloria.
I like it.
Well, it's so good to be with you again. It seems like it's been a long time since we've taped together.
Have you been? But have you been on vacation or what?
I had a little job that I do.
I think I've been on vacation.
But it's really great to be with you, and I'm always excited. And I was telling some friends of ours, we were talking about Rick and Denise Renner before we went on the air, and I was telling them the thing that I like so much about coming to do these broadcasts is hearing what Gloria Copeland is going to say.
Oh,
so we write all of the things down that you say, all the Gloriaisms that you have. So I'm looking forward to hearing what Gloria is going to say. But Gloria, this is our 311th broadcast that we've done together on prosperity.
George.
The subject of prosperity. And when we first began this series, you might remember this, I said, Gloria, you just can't exhaust the subject of prosperity. And you said, let's try.
And that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
I think you're doing it, George.
It is God's will for us to prosper. Amen. It's God's will for us to expand and enlarge and to increase and to walk in abundance.
Yes.
And for every need that we have to be met, everything to be supplied, every debt to be removed, we can live in great debt freedom.
Yes.
We can have homes by faith.
Paid
in full. And you and Kenneth have taught Terry and I so well over all of these years about how to live in prosperity. We really are. I think about it, Gloria, and I think about walking through our debt-free home.
Praise God.
Usually,
isn't that awesome?
When I'm preparing for church on Saturdays, I walk through the house and I just pray in the Spirit. And I just thank God for being in a beautiful debt-free home.
Yes, amen.
And that's what you
a
and
faith
Kenneth.
Home.
That's a faith home. That's it. That's a faith home. And you know, speaking of the broadcast that we've done, all of the outlines that we have are available to you. And these outlines, Gloria, are designed for any pastor or minister to take them and preach them the way they're set up.
I might preach it myself.
Any family could take these studies that we do together. And we have, since we began, we now have, of course, you know that we give them free as a download, 1,254,000 downloads of these broadcast notes. Isn't that exciting? 1,254,000 of the outlines alone being downloaded. So you can go to kcm.org, look at the picture of Gloria and me and click onto it, and it'll take you to the information where you can download your set of notes. And Gloria, every broadcast.
Maybe we should go back and look at it and see if we've aged.
Well, well, I don't know.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Maybe we shouldn't. But I'll tell you, with a long life, He does satisfy
us.
He
does.
And He shows
God.
Us His salvation.
That's great, 254,000 downloads. You know, I'd like to have some testimonies.
We need to get some testimonies.
We've preached it. Now you write us and tell us
your results. That's right.
We want to know that somebody listening.
That's right.
Working.
Well, Gloria, these 2 weeks that we're together, I'm so excited about this because we're teaching on a subject that I know that is close to your heart, and that is faith.
Absolutely.
We're talking about faith for prosperity. We're talking about walking in a development of our faith. And one of the things that you and Kenneth taught me early on is that faith can be developed. It can grow.
Yes.
It can expand.
It's supposed to grow.
It can enlarge. And let me set the foundation for this today, Gloria.
Okay.
At the beginning of the year, right before the year started, I was spending some time in prayer over the ministry, over the church, over the congregation, the partners, and I was praying about their vision, praying about our vision. And of course, my position here at the ministry as senior pastor of the church and CEO of the ministry, I'm thinking about everything that's going on here. And I think about all of the vision that Brother Copeland gets in his heart, the things for us to do.
Guess who he called?
Yeah, he'll call Pastor George. And so I was praying over this, and I was praying over your vision. Your vision.
Yes.
What has God called you to do? What are the partners believing for? Are you believing for a debt-free house? Are you believing to get out of debt? Are you believing for more finances in your family? Are you believing for another car? What are the things that you have set before the Lord in your vision? And the Lord gave me this scripture.
Praise God.
And it's Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. And it's there. All the scriptures are on the page there, Gloria, for us. But listen to this. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Now, before I go on in that scripture, I was praying about this a couple of days ago as I was preparing for these messages. And I believe the Lord spoke up in me, and I looked at the word tent, and He said, put the word faith in there. Enlarge the place of your faith.
Well, that's good.
And yeah, so, and then it says, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not
I
spare.
I like that part.
Do not yeah, the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare.
Oh,
lengthen
yeah.
your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited.
Praise God.
And the Lord gave me that scripture for this year that we are to enlarge the place of our tent. And that's where that phrase came from. That is a command to expand. The Lord is saying, enlarge the place of your tent. He's not giving it as a suggestion.
Yeah.
He's giving it as a command. We are to enlarge and to get to the place where He wants us to be in our life of prosperity, that we are truly ruling and reigning on this earth.
I had a thought.
Tell me your thought.
If you don't enlarge, how can you increase?
Well, that's so true.
Where are you going to put the increase?
Yeah. If your barns don't enlarge, where are you going to be able to put that? That's exactly right.
Praise God.
It's exactly right.
Amen.
And look at this, Gloria. I looked up in the Hebrew the definition of the word enlarge. Enlarge.
Oh, good.
And it's on point three of your notes. The word enlarge in the Hebrew means to expand, to widen, to go beyond, to make more room, to increase capacity. Like that.
Yes.
To increase capacity, to go further, to occupy new territories with no limits or boundaries.
Good.
Isn't that a good one?
That is awesome, yeah.
To occupy new territories with no limits or boundaries. Now, I looked up the Message translation of this particular scripture, and it says, clear lots of ground for your tents, make your tents large, spread out, think big. Use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take, that's a good scripture there for families that are believing for a bigger home.
That's right.
Because they've got so many kids, they need more space.
That was in the Message translation?
That's the Message translation of Isaiah 54. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back.
I like that.
Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short.
Praise God.
So the Lord is speaking to me through this. He's talking to me, and He said to me, in that last phrase you see at the bottom, there is no limit to how far we can go this year. There's no limit.
There's no limit.
If
you put your faith to work.
If we will expand. Now look at your second page, Gloria. And I'm just taking you through as we begin the process that the Lord took me through in this study of faith. I asked Him, I said, what will it take to expand our faith? Our vision, rather. And I started thinking about all of the things, particularly with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I went through a timeline of the ministry. And I thought about 1967, when you and Kenneth first went into the ministry together. And the Lord spoke to him and said, preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the
way
around. He received that word when he was down there back behind your house in the Arkansas River bottom when he was walking along there.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to him. You think about that, Gloria. You think about where you were then.
We were not expanded, I can
you
tell you that
were not
right
expanded. The house that you were living in, we have a picture of that house that I'm going to show.
Oh, that'll be fun.
The house that you and Kenneth were living in at that time. And You had just left ORU, gone out in the ministry, and the Lord is saying, you're going to preach the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. Well, here we are 51 years later, and it's happening.
And you know, we had no assets.
No,
we had
you didn't.
Old car. We rented a house.
Or an apartment
or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you first got married, you rented a bed, as I understand. You had to rent a bed.
Well, we rented a rollaway bed. Yes, that's right.
And
it was
so
cheap
you've come, as that old commercial used to say, you've come a long way, baby.
Oh, you're not kidding.
You have come a long way. Mm-hmm. Well, then I was thinking about 1976. And 1976, Gloria, is when I first came to work for the ministry. And one of the first job that I had was I was stuffing envelopes with a piece that was going out to the partners. It was a cassette
that
tape.
That was an important George.
And a printed piece.
Job.
I was stuffing that. That's what they did with me the first day that I came.
I'm sure you excelled, too.
I excelled at it. I did. And funny thing about that particular brochure that we sent out, I'm the archivist around here. And I was looking for that brochure, could not find it. Well, years ago, I was up at ORU, and they have a Holy Spirit Research Center up there. And I was looking through it, and I went into the file cabinets, and I pulled out a file cabinet. And there was a file in there that said Kenneth Copeland.
My.
So I pulled out the Kenneth Copeland file cabinet and I opened it up, and there was that brochure. Well, long story short, I asked permission and they gave it to me. It's now in our archive. It's the only one in existence. And what it was the Lord had spoken to Brother Copeland to get this message on faith on every available voice. And that began with radio in 1976. And now look at all the voices that we are on. but the Lord was saying to me, we have to expand. We have to go further. Don't stop now. And then in last year, we were over at your house. We were sitting in your beautiful, the garden room, the sunroom over there. And all of a sudden, Brother Copeland, he does this when he's starting to hear from the Lord. He'll go like this. And he'll close his eyes. And so what I normally do is I grab my phone because I know he's going to say
something.
You
know what's coming.
And so I have to record it. And he said, he looked down, they looked up at me. He said, the Lord said to get more aggressive about reaching the United States. He said, get more aggressive about reaching the continent of Africa. He said, get more aggressive about reaching Canada, the islands of the world and Latin America. So what is that? That's vision expanding.
Yeah,
that's the expanding vision. And I asked the Lord a question, Gloria, during my prayer time. I said, Lord, what will it take for us to fulfill the vision that we have? Not only the vision of the ministry, but the vision of our partners. Mm-hmm. And he answered me in this way. He said, you will have to develop an uncommon faith to believe and receive that all that I have planned for you.
That's true.
We have to develop our faith if we're going to fulfill the expansion of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something that I do, Gloria, just personally, to be around you and Kenneth and to talk to you about vision, and where he's concerned, there's vision coming out of him like
there's
I've
no
never
limit.
Seen before.
No
he's
limit.
81 years old, and he's more on fire about the Word than I've ever seen him. He's more on fire about reaching the nations with the Word, about reaching Latin America.
He hasn't slowed down physically either. I mean, he's
no, not at all.
Out there going.
Not at all. And here's the thing. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, for you to keep up with Kenneth Copeland, you're going to have to get your faith level up. I said, okay. because I don't want to be to where Kenneth Copeland will give us vision, and we all sit around and go, we can't do that. We can't afford
that's
to do
impossible.
That. That's impossible to do. No, to be able to fulfill the vision that God has for you, and for us to fulfill the vision that God has for the ministry, for the church, our faith has the potential, an unlimited potential of growth. We can believe God.
That's right.
For anything.
That's right.
And it reminded me, I'll read this to you. It reminded me of something that Billy Brim said years ago, and she was quoting an author named David Barron.
Mm-hmm.
Barron. It says David Barton, but that's a later version. That's a typo. David Barron, he said, God loves to communicate his absolute goodness to all. The only thing that limits him from imparting his goodness to anyone is that person's capacity to receive.
That is such a powerful statement.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And I realized, Gloria, that you and I have an unlimited capacity to be able to believe God, to be able to see like Him. To be able to envision the fulfillment of vision like Him. We have an unlimited faith capacity. You know, I think about in the same way that you can develop the human body.
In other words, if you can think about it, you can have it.
Well, I like what Keith Moore...
faith.
Keith Moore said this years ago, if you can see it, you can have it.
That's right. I believe that.
If you can see it. And it takes the development of our faith to be able to see those kinds of things. I would dare say this, Gloria, that when you and Kenneth first started in the ministry, your faith was not at the level where it is today.
Hardly.
Hardly. Hardly. Yeah, it's not where it is today, because when you started, you barely...
Well, we were learning. We had not... Now we've had experience.
Yeah.
Now we know it works. We've had experience believing for buildings, personnel, airplanes, land.
Well, think about this. I think about this a lot. I think about the fact that it took 10 years to believe God for the Citation 10.
Yeah.
When you and Kenneth first got the word to believe for a Citation 10, it took 10 years. Mm-hmm. Well, now we are flying the Gulfstream 5. And it took a little less than a year to believe God for that Gulfstream 5.
That's right. We are not speaking of getting a loan. We do not borrow money.
No, there is no borrowing.
Cash. We believe cash paid for airplane.
Borrowing is not
which
a word
a
we
miracle.
Use.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. It is a financial miracle. And what the Lord was telling me was that our faith, in the same way you can develop the human body, faith can be developed as well. An individual can go and work out and train and get stronger physically by working out. Well, you can become stronger in spiritually by the development of your faith. So it really is up to us how far we want to go.
That's exactly right.
It was up to me when I first came to work for you in 1976 how far I wanted to go in faith. I had every resource available to me. I had all of the cassette tapes at the time that I could listen to. So I had a choice to make.
Yeah.
Was I going to pursue this? And I can tell you this, Gloria, that my faith is on a different level today than it was in 1976.
Oh, absolutely. And aren't you glad?
I'm glad.
All things are possible to him that believeth.
And that's why in the position that I'm in as pastor, CEO, my faith has got to come up to where you all are to be able to help you believe God for the things that we need to have in our ministry. Now, let's talk for a moment. We just have a couple of minutes left. In the scriptures down here, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he wrote to them and he said in verses 9 and 10, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith."
I like to think about praying exceedingly.
Exceedingly, yes.
They did praying. Not just do the Lord's Prayer every day.
No, praying exceedingly. Exceedingly.
But exceedingly.
Yes. And so Paul said to them, I want to come. Basically, here's what he said. I have to come see you. He said, there's something that is lacking in your faith that I want to come and I want to help. And it says in verse 10 in the Amplified, I want to mend and make good whatever may be imperfect and lacking in your faith.
Huh.
The English Standard Version says, I want to supply what is lacking in your faith. And the New Living Testament, I want to fill the gaps in your faith. Now, Paul had a strategic plan to help the Thessalonian church come up in their faith. So, Gloria, the time difference between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians is 2 months.
2 months.
2 months. So the Apostle Paul went to the Thessalonians, and obviously he did something. He had a strategic plan to help them grow in their faith. 2 months later, listen to what he said to them. Okay. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith is growing exceedingly. Yep. And the love of every one of you abounds towards each other." And I looked up some translations of that. And in the English version, "Your faith is growing abundantly." In the NIV, "Your faith is growing more and more." In the Message translation, "Your faith is growing phenomenally." In the New Living Testament, "Your faith is flourishing." So what you and I are going to do over these 2 weeks is we are going to grow our faith.
Okay, so you could say, if we're not increasing in faith,
that's right,
we're not doing it right.
Oh, Gloria, that's good. If we're not increasing in faith, yeah, we're not doing it right.
That's right.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
We've got to have current faith.
So what we're going to do over these 2 weeks is we're going to do a study.
That'll be great.
Of faith, and really relating it to faith for prosperity. But it covers everything. This could apply to faith for your healing. The stronger your faith is, yeah, the easier it is to receive from God. The stronger your faith is, the more developed your faith is.
And the more is possible.
And we are going to learn how, Gloria, to develop our faith.
Oh, that'll be good, George.
I'm so excited about doing this. I'm excited about doing this with you because you are the faith queen.
I'm excited about listening to all you've got to say about it. It's true, Ken and I had absolutely, I don't know, we were probably worth, if you could get $500 together, you'd be doing well.
You'd be doing good.
You'd have to throw in the old Oldsmobile. And we began to learn how to use faith.
That's right.
Sitting under Brother Hagin. And it just made all things possible.
And the things that I'm about to teach, and we're going to teach in these 2 weeks, where did I get them? I got them from
you.
Well,
I'll agree with you then.
Gloria, it's so good to be on here with you on these broadcasts.
Well, I enjoy you teaching me every day.
Well, and I'm excited about this series that we're doing on the development of our faith. And all of our notes are available to you. Go to kcm.org, look at the picture of Gloria and me, click on it, and you'll be able to get to your notes. Not only the notes that Gloria and I have done for this series, but all 312 notes that we have done together over these years, 6 years now, that we've been taping, 312 of them.
And you don't care if we preach it, do you?
Nah, preach it. You can print them out, hand them out to your church. They're absolutely free to you. So we want to bless you with that.
That is a blessing.
In this series that we're talking about, and I'll give just a quick synopsis of what we talked about yesterday. I was praying over the ministry and the church earlier this year about the vision and realizing that there's so much that Brother Copeland has given us to do and he's seen and he wants done and we're believing for this, that, and the other. We're believing for a new hangar out here. And as I was praying about it, I asked the Lord, I said, what is it going to take for us to fulfill that vision? And he said, you're going to have to develop your faith. You're going to have to develop an uncommon faith, a faith that goes beyond just a simple faith of sitting down in a chair and not feeling like it's going to break. We're talking about a faith development that's taking place. And you said something right before we went on the air that I wanted to bring up. You said, concerning faith, you said somebody will hear, for instance, they'll hear the word of faith, but they never develop it.
That's right.
I thought that is such a key to this. Faith has to be developed.
Yes,
and you said there has to be follow through. And then you started talking about follow through in sports. Follow through in sports. And you use the illustration of follow through in golf. You have to hit the ball, but then you have to follow through.
That's right.
Then you said, and I wish you could have seen this, she was demonstrating in basketball.
Like I knew about
my golf. You put your hand up like this in basketball, and you said, you notice how they, when they go up with the ball, they shoot it like this, but then they...
That hand stays up there.
It stays up there. It's the follow through.
For just a little while.
It's the follow through.
Yeah.
Well, that applies to the things of faith. There has to be follow through. There has to be development. And today on this broadcast, we're just hitting this week, we're talking about faith.
And what would be fun to do And what is fun for me to do is when you're seeing a golf pro game or something, or basketball or what, watch for it. Watch for that follow
through. The follow through.
And it'll remind you that you've got to follow through with your faith.
Oh, Gloria, that's good. Standing ovation. That's so good. You've got to follow through in your faith.
You know, in basketball, they'll do that.
I like that. I like that, Gloria.
I hadn't thought about that till this morning.
That's so good. That's so good. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the follow through that you hear the word of God, but you just can't hear it one time.
And what, since I've been I've known about having to follow through.
Yeah.
I've watched the sports, and you know a pitcher, how what a pitcher will do? He'll go.
And follow through.
Yeah.
He doesn't just stop.
So we got to remember to
follow through. We have to follow through. Well, we're talking today about something that is so, so important and so basic to the life of faith. And that is the measure of faith.
Yeah.
And we'll start here, though. Gloria, there are levels of faith. And you could do a whole 2-week study
on this.
And
you decide what level you're going to be on.
You decide what level. How far do you want to go?
That's right.
How far in faith do you want to go? And I know how important faith is to me.
Do you want to be on the grocery level or the car level? Do you want to be on the car level or the house level?
Oh, come on, Gloria. That's good. Preach it. Do you want to be?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you've developed your faith over the years to be on the airplane level.
Yeah, we're
then
up
the
airplane.
Jet level.
Prop airplane. We had got a little 172.
Yeah.
You know, little prop airplane.
Yep.
Then we went on. Then we got a jet. Then we got another jet.
Yep.
See,
yeah.
It works.
And it's not
just the natural law of increase.
And it's not limited to you and Kenneth. You and Kenneth, when you started, you had nothing.
Absolutely.
You started with nothing.
Everything was an increase.
Everything was an increase. But you were in Tulsa listening to Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
You were going to those meetings. You were hearing Brother Roberts.
We grew by the word.
You grew by the word of
That's
God.
Right.
You didn't hear it just one time, but followed through. 51 years later,
I'm
you're still following
through.
Yeah, you
That's
are.
That's right.
You
you're
are.
Right.
But
it's
look
true.
At this. This is Romans 1:17. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith."
That's right.
From "As it is written, the just shall live by faith."
That lets you know you got to keep going with your faith.
You have to keep going. Faith to faith.
You believe you receive when you pray, but then you keep it.
Yeah. Well,
you
yes.
Don't just you just believe you receive one
exactly.
time. You thank the Lord for it. You see yourself with it. You see yourself with that thing
That's
that
right.
you need.
You see yourself.
Healing.
You see it with what? The eye of faith.
The eye of faith.
You
That's
see
right.
it with the eye of faith.
Amen.
Well, there are different levels of faith. And like we just talked about, you could spend a lot of time with this. But let's
There's
just
no
go
limit
through.
To what you can believe for.
There is no limit. There are no limits to what we can believe for. There are no limits in faith. And I think it's funny how...
As long as it's legal.
Yes. Yeah, it has to be legal. It has to be legal. There are different levels of faith, different degrees of faith. And look, we'll just go down this list.
Okay, where are you?
In number 2 on point A.
Okay.
Mark 9:19. There's no faith. Jesus said, "O faithless."
That's the easy
generation.
Way, but it's the hardest way.
That's the hardest way. Then there is what is misplaced faith in Luke 8:25. Jesus
good.
Said, "Where is your faith?"
Yeah.
He said that to his disciples. Where is your faith? Then in Matthew 14:31, there is what is called little faith. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith." Then, see, what are we doing? We're progressing.
So, see, there must be a cure for it because we know Peter didn't stay in little faith.
No, he did not.
That's a revelation.
That's a revelation right there.
I need my yellow marker.
Where is your
Timmy?
Yellow marker?
We're getting good stuff over
Okay,
here.
We need to get that yellow marker up here. In Romans 4:19, there is weak faith.
Yeah.
Now,
weak faith.
Now, Paul wrote this about Abraham. He was not weak in faith.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about Abraham later on in the week.
Good.
In Romans 4:20, strong faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was what?
Strong
in faith, giving glory to God.
That's good, George.
And then there's this level of faith, Matthew 8:10, great faith.
Oh, yes.
Great faith. And we'll talk about that as well. Jesus said to the centurion, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Praise
That's what
God.
He said to that centurion. And the word great in the Greek, it is the word megas or enormous.
Mega.
I have not seen such enormous faith. No, not in Israel. So that
Praise
says to me
God.
Right there, Gloria, that
That's
first
awesome.
Of all, there are degrees of faith and that we can develop in our faith. One person does not have more faith than another person, more developed faith than another person.
Thank you.
Than another without that development.
No.
And I'm thinking about when you and Kenneth were in Tulsa and you were going to Brother Hagin's quarterly seminars that he had, no matter what the weather was, no matter what was going on, you would slide into that place.
We got there.
You got there.
Right.
And you really put the Word of God to work. Gloria, I did the same thing when I first started dating Terry at ORU and she introduced me to your messages. I got a hold of those and I found something in there I had never seen before, never heard before. And Kenneth, well, by the time that Terry and I were engaged, Kenneth sat down with me for a conversation. He wanted to know about me mm-hmm. and he wanted to know what my goals were in life. And so he said, George, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? I said, I want to be a man of God. He said, all right. That was the right answer.
Yes, sir.
And so he ended up sending me all of his tapes.
Oh my goodness, that'd be a bunch.
Your brother Richard was the one that packaged them. And he thought, who in the world is he sending all of these tapes to? But Gloria, when I got them, I opened the box and I started with the first set, The Integrity of the Word. And I listened to every cassette in that one. Then I went to the next one, The Image of God in You. Then I went to the next one and the next one. And I have not stopped since 1976.
That's right.
I'm still feeding on the
there's
Word.
There's a lot of people, probably the majority of people, would just let those things sit in a box.
Yeah.
Somebody sent them some tapes to listen to.
Exactly.
They just say, yeah, well, I don't have time. And they'd let it sit there. They'd let their whole future sit in that box.
Oh, Gloria.
That's new and
That's
fresh.
That's a powerful statement.
It is, but isn't it true?
They let their whole future sit in
I'm
a box.
I'm going to use you as an example.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's so true.
As an example of what you could have done and what you did do that changed your life forever.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
And it's not limited to you or to me.
No.
Anybody can do this.
Spiritual law.
Anyone can develop in their faith. But it takes a development of that faith to do it.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? We're pressing on to that strong faith. We're pressing on to that great great faith.
That's good.
And we read yesterday from 1 Thessalonians 9, and I want to repeat this again. Paul had a faith development plan for the Thessalonian church. He wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 and 10, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And the verse 10 of New Living says, to fill the gaps in your faith.
Yeah.
So there was something missing in their faith. And he wanted to come to them. See, that's the kind of sense that I have for the church. That's when I go into church, I want to build up those people. I want them to experience things they've never experienced before. I have a passion, Gloria, to preach this word. I have a mandate on my life. You know, the Lord has said this to me. He said, you are responsible for taking those things that Kenneth and Gloria have taught you, and you need to teach them to others. Just like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, you take the things I've taught you and you teach them to faithful men as well. So I'm taking what you have taught me. I have a lifelong responsibility to do that.
Praise God.
I can't escape that. I don't want to. But I take the same things that you've taught me and I take them to the church. I take them to wherever I'm sent. I take them to the broadcast because I grew because of it. I'm stronger today.
Well, what was the root of those things? Paul, Timothy?
Yes. Yeah.
Titus.
Well, I must say I am stronger
Proverbs.
Today because of what you and Kenneth put into me. I didn't ignore it. I didn't set it aside.
Yeah.
I became a student.
I didn't ignore it either. I was tired of being broke and defeated. We didn't know much at first, of course.
No.
We were just starting out. But we went after it.
So anyone can develop their faith.
That's
and
right.
With the Apostle Paul, he went to Thessalonica. He taught them some things. And I believe, Gloria, by the Spirit of God, and I believe I can say this with confidence, that the things that we talk about on this broadcast over the 2 weeks, those were some of the same things that Paul taught those people. Why do I say that? Because
letters.
Paul wrote it.
That's
yes.
Right.
Those were his letters. So he spent
he spent
2 months with them. 2 months. And I'm doing a series in church right now on faith. And I'm going for about 2 months. And I'm going to see how far we can go.
Good.
How far we can develop our faith. Well, he did that with them, and it only took 2 months for them to see results. Because it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, that's 2 months later, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly.
Isn't that good?
Your faith, because of what we talked about, your faith is growing exceedingly. And the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. Well, we know that faith works by love.
Yeah.
And it says in translations, your faith is growing abundantly. Your faith is growing more and more. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your faith is flourishing.
Ooh, yeah.
And I believe, if we go to page 2, I believe that one of the first things that the Apostle Paul would have taught them and trained them or reviewed them, you know, you have to review these things. We have to go back and teach them over and over again. As a pastor, Gloria, the Lord has really dealt with me
and
about this.
And if you want to walk in victory, you have to read the Word yourself.
You have to read it for yourself. And one of the responsibilities I have as a pastor is I am a great reminder. I remind people. I'm like Peter who said, I bring you in remembrance of these things.
Right.
And like Paul who talked about that, lest you allow these things to slip from you. I remind you of this. So you have to be reminded of this. And I believe that Paul reminded them.
And you should always be reminding yourself. Don't wait for somebody to come knock on your door and remind you.
No, no. You have to take the initiative.
That's right.
To stay up in faith.
Once you come to the revelation that if I'm going to walk by faith, I'm going to be in victory. But I can't walk by faith unless I walk in the Word of God.
That's it right there.
And the Scripture just says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we have to do what it takes.
We have to do what it takes.
To keep faith strong.
You have to follow
through. Yes, follow
through. You have to follow through.
You've got to have the follow through. That's right.
In Romans 12, 1 through 3, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly or than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the
measure
of faith. When you were born again, Gloria, you and Kenneth were not given this much faith and somebody else given this much faith. We were all given the same measure of faith. And you look here at 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The ESV.
So when we got born again, we got a measure.
We got a measure of faith.
But then it's up to us to increase that measure.
Yeah, that's
we
it.
Need more than just being born again. Now we need to know how to believe for other things.
Yeah. And the thing about it is you don't need more faith. You have all the faith that you need.
But we got a measure if we're born again.
You got a measure if you're born
again. It can be developed.
It has to be developed.
I like that.
It has to be developed.
I understand that.
And a couple of the translations, the ESV translation says, to those who have obtained faith of equal standing with ours. Equal standing. And then the New Living, I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. Gloria, we have the same faith as Peter, Paul, and Jesus himself. We've got the same faith residing.
We have a measure.
The measure of faith that has to be developed. But you know, in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or have the faith of God.
Yeah, that's right.
We have, when we're born again, we have the faith of God deposited into our heart, but that faith has to be developed.
I would think I'd be safe in saying there are millions of people who have been born again that have never increased the measure of faith.
That's right.
Could be living in victory that overcomes the world if they would grow.
If they would develop it, yeah.
But you know, when you got born into the world and you got some milk and you never did eat anymore, anything, you wouldn't even be here today.
No, you'd shrivel up. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
That's the way it is. When you get born again, you heard a little word, you got born again, and then you just go ahead and live like natural people.
That's right.
Don't grow, don't feed on the word.
You know, I enjoyed kindergarten.
I didn't get to go to
kindergarten. Oh, Gloria. You would have enjoyed kindergarten.
I didn't even know there was a kindergarten when I was little.
I enjoyed kindergarten. We played. We learned little things. We made clay things. We took naps. But I'm glad I'm not in the kindergarten anymore.
Yeah.
And there are too many people in the body of Christ.
Really funny looking in kindergarten.
I would be really funny looking in kindergarten.
There you'd be in your nice suit and your pretty tie and playing, making mud pies.
Yeah. Well, but there are so many people that have been saved for years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and they're still in kindergarten.
I think it's a good thing if you just, everybody, all of us, just look and give ourselves a little examination frequently about, have I grown spiritually?
Oh, that's good, Gloria.
Am I growing spiritually? Or am I just plodding along?
That's so good.
On Barely Get Along Street.
Barely Get Along Street.
So Brother Hagin or somebody used to say.
Yeah.
But isn't that true?
It's so
true. We should be growing all the time.
Every day.
All of us, most of us have a Bible. And if you don't have one, you can get one. And that's how we grow, is putting that word in our eyes, our
that's
ears,
right.
getting faith in our heart, acting
that's
on
right.
what we know. Glory to God.
To develop that faith.
Develops a good word.
Well, we find that faith that was given to us, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. This
praise
measure
God.
Of faith that we've been given is a gift from God. And I heard Brother Hagin say this, the most important thing to know about our faith is that every believer has been given the same measure of the God kind of faith.
Yes, amen.
But here's the kicker right here, Gloria.
Okay.
Our faith will grow according to what we do with it.
That's right.
And the question is, are we willing to do what it takes to develop our faith?
I am.
I am too.
And you should be too, because it'll affect everything in your life. It'll affect your children, your marriage, how you get along in life, where you live, whether you have food to eat, a car to drive.
Yes, yes.
It affects everything.
And the last statement I made here.
Not to mention the spiritual side of
it. The spiritual side of it. The last statement here, Gloria, to develop an uncommon faith, to develop an extraordinary faith.
I'm still developing.
I am too. I am too. You'll have to do some uncommon things. And that's what we're going to
that's
be learning
right.
about.
Oh, that'll be good, George. I like that.
That's what we're going to learn
that.
About.
All
is
right.
how to develop an uncommon faith, to believe God and to receive from God like you never have before.
And don't ever quit.
Don't ever quit.
You got to keep your faith current.
Yeah.
Pastor George is back, and we're talking about faith. We're talking about uncommon faith. Welcome, Pastor.
Gloria, it's great to be with you. I'm so excited about what we're talking about.
I know it's exciting.
Every one of us needs to develop our faith.
That's right.
Every one of us needs to build that faith up to where we're able
and
to believe God.
And you don't ever quit developing.
No, never.
You've got to stay current.
Never. You have to stay current.
Just like Ken going to flight school.
That's right. We've been talking about that.
That's where he is this week. He has to go to recurrent training, so that you stay in gear with what you've already learned.
That's
Otherwise,
right.
you might crash.
That's right.
And faith works the same way. If you don't stay up with your faith and you're hard hit, It's much harder to build your house in the storm.
That's right, Gloria.
Than it is to build your house in calm, yeah. peaceful, sunshiny weather.
That's right.
So we just learn that, and that's the way you live.
You have to be a real serious student of the Word of God and the development of your faith, because the devil, his whole purpose is to steal the Word.
Yeah, he's come to steal the Word.
If he can come and steal that Word from you, then he's got you. But we have to continually feed ourselves on the Word of God.
That's right.
And build ourselves up in order to fulfill what God desires for us to do.
And be ready with whatever the devil tries to throw at you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Kenneth, Brother Copeland is a serious... Let's take flying, for instance. He is a serious student in flying.
Oh, yeah.
He's at recurrent training right now. He studies it all the time.
He's been a pilot for decades.
He's been a pilot for decades, since what, 1959, I think. So he stays on top of that, and you have to be a serious student with that. I think about Jesse Duplantis, how he put his foot in his mouth one time talking to Kenneth.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Brother Copeland, I can almost land a plane."
Yeah.
Brother Copeland said, "That's crashing it." And so
Jesse was proud of himself.
He was. He could almost
land
a plane. Well, when you're flying somewhere, you don't want to almost land the plane. You want to land that plane. So you go back for the recurrent training. You have to keep building.
You have to stay sharp.
You have to stay sharp, and you have to keep building on the basics.
And where the Word's concerned, we have to continue in it. I spend time in the Word every day, because this is, if you don't do what's written in here,
right.
you're not going to have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't have victory. This
That's
is
right.
the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We have to keep our faith strong.
We have to keep our faith strong. And the stronger your faith is,
be victorious.
The better you'll be able to face whatever challenges that you have. What looked to me to be a mountain years ago is no longer
right.
so. Why? Because my faith is stronger than it ever has
right.
been.
You're developed.
And there is an unlimited spiritual capacity as to how strong spiritually you can become. There's a limit. Now, I work out in the gym. I train 3 times a week. But there's a limit to how big I can get. I can get a little bit bigger, but not as big as the room. On the contrary, though, spiritually, there is no limit.
No limit. That's
there's no
right.
there's no limit to how you can develop in your faith.
That's right.
So what we're doing in this week, we're talking about the development of our uncommon faith. And that's what the Lord said to me years ago about developing this uncommon faith. And it's a faith that you don't find everywhere because of the work that it takes.
And you have to feed your faith.
You have to.
You can't just learn it one time and then it's...
Yep.
No, you got to stay current.
You got to stay current.
Ken's at current...
Current...
Recurrent training.
So you
right
have,
now.
He's staying current because he wants to continue to fly.
And live.
So we have to stay and live. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to do the same, though. The just... Shall live by faith.
That's right.
And that's a daily thing that we do.
Too.
So we're talking about this week, Gloria. We're just talking about faith this week. Next week, we're going to get into the rudiments and the details of a step-by-step process to develop your faith.
Good.
But we're talking about faith today, and so I titled this one, "What is Uncommon Faith?" And so when you talk about defining faith, well, Hebrews 11:1 is a good place to start. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."
Yeah.
And that's the start.
Faith is substance.
Faith is substance.
Faith brings materiality. If you're believing for a car, faith will get you a car to drive.
That's
It'll
right.
get you a car. But if you just believe and don't ever lay hold of any certain thing, you haven't given anything to work with, for faith to work with.
And that's the difference. Faith, the difference between faith and hope is a person who says, "Well, I hope I get it. I hope I get it.
I hope to get it.
It's always, it's just out beyond reach.
Yeah.
But faith says, "I have it now."
I think the most important, it's hard to say the most important, one of the most important scriptures about faith is, "Now faith is."
Now faith is. Yes.
If it's not Yeah. Now, it's not faith. If you're putting it off until, you know, someday I hope to. I believe someday I'm going to get a car of my own.
Mm-hmm.
That's not faith.
That's not faith.
No, you have to take it.
No.
Believe you receive when you pray.
Yeah.
And if you'll get hold of this, it'll help you keep it straight. Believe you receive when you pray.
Mm-hmm.
And receive there, the Hebrew word there, is take.
Take it.
Take it when you pray. Take the answer. I believe I receive. Let's just say you're believing for a car.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I receive this such and such car. I believe I receive it. I take it today.
Yeah.
Or I take my healing. And now from now on, I can't tell everybody I'm sick. Just say, if somebody has to know something, just say, I have believed I've received my car. I have believed I've received my healing.
That's it.
And
that's
just stand on it. Stand on it.
Stand
on it.
Don't give up. Be relentless about it.
Yeah,
don't let it go.
Right. Don't
keep
quit.
That vision before you all
and
the time.
And you have to keep feeding on the written word to make it work, because that's where faith comes from.
That's where faith comes from.
Praise God.
Well, these, I just wanted us
I
to read through.
I wish you could see this picture of my Bible on this on this 11.
We need to show
Maybe
that to
Maybe you'll
them.
Show it to them later, but.
Look at that. Look at that. Years of study.
And this is a wide margin Bible. It's got lots of room.
Listen, let's do this, Gloria. I'll read one of these translations, then you read the next one. Let me read number 2, and then you read 3, and so forth.
Okay.
But these are just different translations. And again, we're covering the basics of faith here. In the Moffat translation, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for,
convinced
of what we do not see.
Faith is the title deed of the things we hope for.
Mm.
If you're believing for your healing, you have it. You have it if you release your faith,
right?
Like the title deed. Faith belongs to me. It's mine.
It's mine.
I have it.
It's
if you ever had the title deed to a car, you'd be saying, I can drive it. I'm going to town or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, faith is the title deed of things we hope for. The putting to the proof of things not seen. You think that could be a loose translation of Brother Hagin saying the proof of the pudding's in the eating?
That's right.
The putting to the proof of things. That's a refined version.
Yeah, it's the refined version.
And then Weymouth says, faith is the confident assurance of that for which we hope,
mm-hmm.
a conviction of reality of the things we do not see. Or you could say a conviction of the reality of the things we do not yet see.
Yet see, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then the NEB says, mm-hmm. what is that, NEB?
NEB, the New English Bible.
And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. Now, faith, in the Amplified, mm-hmm. is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is revealed to the senses. One translation says, faith is the warranty deed. The thing for which we have fondly hoped for is at last ours. Isn't that good?
I like that one, Gloria.
I do too, George.
Faith is the warranty deed.
Praise God.
So I see from these scriptures here that faith, it's the substance of the things that we hope for.
That's right.
Now that word, that Bible hope word, is an earnest, red-hot, burning expectation with an outstretched neck. So we have our sights set on something that we are, our faith is the substance to that. For instance, Terry and I are living in a beautiful debt-free home right now. Well, that debt-free home was not seen at one time in the natural realm, but we saw it by faith.
Yeah.
We took it by faith. We started in the scriptures. We actually built our house here. Mm-hmm. By feeding on the Word of God
That's
and
right.
feeding our faith with that, to the degree where that thing that you're believing for becomes more real than what is not seen.
That's right.
You see it, and that's how faith is. That's how, as you study this and you develop it, faith truly is the warranty deed, the thing for which we have fondly hoped for is at last ours.
Praise God.
And that's what the world doesn't understand about how we think and how the Bible teaches. That faith takes it now.
Yeah.
I have it now. We have it right now.
Faith believes, it receives when it prays.
Faith believes, it receives when it prays.
That's right.
That's right.
So if you
Mark
pray,
11.
You go to pray believing yep. for something, and you didn't take it, that word receive in the Greek is take, and you didn't take it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have it. Yeah. It's mine now. Yeah. I have it. That's the way we got our house. That's the way we got everything we've got.
I like what Keith says about faith. Faith is like a tractor beam that reaches out and lays hold on what it's believing for and then pulls it back. For instance, if I'm believing for an apple, that I release my faith for the apple, and my faith goes out there and it gets it and then it brings it to me.
That's the way it works.
That's how faith. Yep. That's how faith operates.
That one looks a little green. There.
It is a little green there. Look at your second page, Gloria.
Okay.
You turn to second page. So we're talking about what is uncommon faith, and we're breaking down this Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is, and as you said before, that's one of the most important things that you realize about faith.
Yeah.
It's now.
Yeah.
It's always right now. Faith is always in the present tense, and it's never tomorrow. I have my healing now.
That's right.
In Jesus'
you
name.
You believe you receive it now, so you have it now.
Yeah.
And you act like you have
it. I have it now.
And you talk like you have it.
Yeah. And it's I use an illustration like this. When you set a thermostat,
mm-hmm.
For instance, when I came here today and I went into the dressing room,
it was cold
in there. Was yours cold?
Mine was cold.
And I'm walking around there and I'm thinking to myself, it's cold. It's cold. Well, I was calling things that were as though they were.
And the thermostat was
And the thermostat is sitting right there. It's on the wall. And it took me a little while. And then I thought, there's a thermostat in here. So I went over there and I turned it up to 71. It was at 60. So I was cold. And as I stood there and I was getting ready to come in here, I could feel the heat. Well, our faith is like a thermostat. You set it.
Exactly right.
You set it, Gloria, and you keep believing, and it keeps rising and rising and rising, and then there it is. The thing that you have fondly hoped for is there. But you have to set the thermostat
That's right.
of faith first.
That's right.
And you do that with the Word.
Some people think, well, you know, it'd take too long to get a house, pay for a house.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah.
Well, it could take a long time. How long does it take you to pay for one? 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
It won't take mm-hmm. that long to believe for it.
No.
If you do it
no.
right.
No. Well, I think about, here's a classic example of you and Kenneth using your faith. Back in 1967, debts. You were in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you found Romans 13:8.
That's right.
Amplified. Stay out of debt. Mm-hmm. Keep out of debt. Well, you took that word and you applied your faith to it. In other words, you set the thermostat.
That's
you
right.
made a quality decision that you and Kenneth would never borrow money again and that you were going to pay off all the debts that you had. Well, you set the thermostat
that,
of faith.
That came first. We believed to pay off all the debt we had.
Exactly.
So we got that done.
And you were using your faith. You were believing God. And I've read the accounts in the Laws of Prosperity about just how you did that. And you quit borrowing money.
Yep.
You were applying your faith. You were applying the Word of God. And it took 11 months for that to happen. Well, you stayed...
We're talking about personally.
Personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you stayed on it with your faith. You didn't get off. You took hold. You took hold of that debt freedom.
That's right.
And you pulled it to you. It took 11 months to get out of debt.
It would be interesting to know how much interest we would have paid in all the years.
In all the years.
Since way back there.
Oh, my goodness.
If we'd have stayed in
debt. Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
I mean, it's just not a good deal.
But faith is now. I have it now. And that's the language of faith that people don't understand. They look at us like we're crazy.
Yeah, believe you receive when you pray, and that means to take it. You take it when you pray. Now, you go from prayer with it.
Yeah.
Well, where's your new car? Well, I believe I've received it. Just keep looking. It'll show up. I believe I have it.
I have it. I have it.
It works.
Well, now faith is, and then...
That's why you get healed, too.
Oh, exactly.
It works for everything.
Yes. Yes. And people need to learn how to apply that and to take authority over their own physical bodies.
That's true.
To allow the healing power of God to work on the inside of them and do it by faith.
It makes so much difference in this life.
It does.
That you develop your faith.
Yeah, it does.
Praise God.
And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the ground, the confidence, the assurance.
The materiality.
The materiality of what we believe. Kenneth used an example some years ago. You know, when I first came traveling on the road with him, he was using a music stand as his podium. And every meeting that we'd have, they'd pull that music stand out there and he would put his Bible and his notebook on the music stand. Well, he saw a plexiglass podium somewhere. And he came to me and he said, George, I want a plexiglass podium. And so we made some designs, we drew some pictures, and then presented that to him. And he says, I like what that looks like. So then we went over to Arlington. There was a plexiglass place in Arlington, and I gave them the blueprint for that and then had that made. The next meeting we went on, we took that podium and put it in place of the music stand. Well,
now everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one. Everybody's got a plexiglass podium. Yeah. Well, that plexiglass podium started out in faith. Brother Copeland saw it.
He saw it.
He saw it. And so I carried
and
that through.
It.
And I drew it, and we took it, and we followed it through until we saw that podium. That's how faith works.
That's right.
It's exactly
it works
how it works.
It works like building a house.
Yeah.
You get your house planned.
The blueprints.
You plan it out, have your blueprint. What do you want? How many of this do you want? How many bedrooms do you want? Where do you want the kitchen? And then there comes a day when you build it.
You put faith to it.
That's
substance.
Right. That's
substance
right.
to it.
That's right.
Faith is the raw material that produces the manifestation
That's
of what
good.
We desire to see in the natural realm.
That's
faith
good.
Brings into the hearing, seeing, feeling realm those things not yet revealed to the physical senses such as health or provision. That's what faith does.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the substance that brought the universe into existence. I'm looking at point B, number three. Faith is the substance that brought the universe into existence, the unseen realm into the seen realm. And I like this. Brother Copeland uses this many times. Faith is the parent force of all that exists.
That's right.
And through faith, this is Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
They were made by the Word of faith.
The Word of faith.
Coming out of God's mouth.
That's right. The worlds were framed by the words of faith that came out of God's mouth. Now, apply that to ourselves. Our worlds are
That's
framed
exactly right.
by the
We've
words
proved it
of
out
faith
for decades.
That come out of our mouths. Yes, we prove it to the positive, but people prove it to the negative as well. We'll never make it. We'll never get that
That's
house.
Right.
We'll never get that car. We'll never pay that debt.
You never will.
Framing your world with your words.
That's exactly right. That's your faith. If you just get a grip on the fact that my words are my faith, and my faith is what I say.
Yes.
Well, what if I say something I don't want? Well, you're going to get it because
you're
framing your world.
Yeah, life and death.
So you say what you want to come to pass.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
That's it.
And we'll be talking about this during this course of our study, but we're going to talk about how do you release your faith. And you release your faith with the words of your mouths, and your words create those faith images.
Good or bad.
Good or bad. So we frame, when you frame a house, you're taking the blueprint and you're framing, and the room is going to go here, and this living room over here, you're framing it. And then it begins to fill in. Well, when you speak words of faith, you are framing whatever it is. You're framing
right.
that car
you're
that you're believing for.
That's right.
And I heard, there's a story that I heard. Brother Keith has made this is public, so everybody knows about it. He tells it public. But he and Phyllis had desired to have a Bentley car. And those cars are, you pay over $200,000 for a car like that. But they were desiring to have a Bentley car. And 3 years they had that on that vision list, their faith list, to believe God for a Bentley. Well, she was looking up Bentleys one day and came across a website that had a Bentley that was priced at about $48,000, somewhere in there. And it was a white convertible Bentley. Nothing wrong with it. And they went, they checked it out, and sure enough, that's what they were offering for that. They bought that thing on the spot. But usually that car in excess of $200,000. But it took them 3 years.
What does the scripture say? All things are possible.
All things are possible.
To him that believeth.
And so this last meeting that we went to with them, there's a picture that they put up there. There's Phyllis in her white Bentley.
Beautiful car.
It's a car that faith created.
That's right.
Faith created that car.
That's the way faith works for your healing.
Yes, ma'am.
For your goods, for your house,
yep.
your car, your
yep.
kids. Whatever.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for,
if
the
it's
evidence.
A thing, faith yeah. works
if
on
it's
it.
If it's a thing, faith works on it.
That's
and
right.
the evidence, it's the evidence
yeah.
of the things that we do not see evidence. In the natural world.
Faith is evidence, glory to God. I'm telling you, it works. We've done it for a number of years, and it works. From little things to big things to children to family, mm-hmm. whatever. And but you have to get in the Word and you have to build your
yeah.
faith. You have to receive yeah. what the Scripture says. It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Pastor George is back and he's going to be talking about
bulldog
faith.
Mm-hmm.
Bulldog faith.
Yeah, Gloria, we're talking about faith these 2 weeks, how to develop your faith,
yep.
how to build your faith, how to get strong faith.
That's a good way to say it. It's bulldog.
Yeah, and that's what the nature of faith is. It's a bulldog faith. It yeah. Did you catch that on camera? I don't think
I hope
we did.
Not.
it bites down and doesn't let go.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this, Gloria, this uncommon faith, developing an uncommon faith. And all of our notes are available to you, not just the ones that we're doing on this broadcast, but all of them, all 314 notes are available online. Just go to kcm.org, click to the picture of Gloria and me, and it'll take you to our notes. And Gloria, we've had over 1.2 million downloads of our notes. So obviously people are interested in hearing about prosperity. And we're talking about faith for prosperity.
I bet you a lot of them have preached it too.
Yeah, they have.
And they're welcome to do that.
I've actually talked to some pastors that use these outlines not only for messages in church, but also for their offerings that they receive.
Oh, good.
So obviously people are interested in learning how to walk in a place of prosperity and provision, increase and supernatural abundance.
Amen.
That belongs to them in the Word of God. So we're talking about this developing our faith, and the beginnings of this came earlier in the year when I was praying over the vision for the ministry, for the church, for our partners, for our congregation. And I asked the Lord, I said, what is it going to take for us to be able to fulfill everything that we need to do? There's a lot going on around here.
Okay.
And I kind of laugh about it, but I get sometimes at least two or three phone calls from Kenneth a day about something that he wants to do, or someplace that he wants to give, or some vision that the Lord has given him. So I asked the Lord, I said, what do I need to do to stay up with Kenneth Copeland's faith? And he said to me, he said, you're going to have to develop your faith. Your faith is going to have to come up.
That's there is a good thing.
There's no limit, Gloria, to how far our faith can go. And you look at a ministry like this, this is your 51st year of ministry. Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You don't owe anybody anything. No. Everything is paid for around here.
Amen.
The Voice of Victory is going on around the world.
Thank you, Lord.
I would say that between the time that you and Kenneth started in Tulsa in 1967 to where we are today, your faith has definitely developed.
Grown. Exceedingly.
And I like the fact that you continually Like we were talking about Kenneth being at recurrent training this week for flight training. And he's going back there. He's going back over the basics.
Yep.
He's learning some new things. He's being refreshed in things. We have to do the same thing.
We do. With
we have
word.
To do the same thing with the Word. But where the Word is concerned, it has to be daily. It has to be every single day.
If you do it right, that's the way you'll do it.
Yeah, every day. Every day, because the devil will try to get in there and steal the Word from you on a daily basis.
You know, he is a good liar.
He is a good liar.
He excels in lying.
He excels in it.
And deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to excel in the Word of God to keep things straight.
We have to excel in the Word of God.
That's right.
And that's what you and I are doing.
And he's a thief. What's more?
Yeah. Well, the stronger your faith is, I heard Keith Moore say this one time. He said, the stronger your faith and the stronger your spirit is, the easier it is to receive from God.
Yeah.
The easier it is to keep what you receive
That's
from
right.
God.
Absolutely.
And the easier it is to resist the devil. Now, those three things right there, receive from God, keep what you receive from God, and resist the devil.
That's right.
The stronger in faith you are, the easier it is to do those things.
Well, you know, George, I was just looking at my notes here.
Mm-hmm.
And I see where we have had 1,254,000 mm-hmm.
downloads
of
yes.
these notes.
Yep. Yep.
So somebody
Somebody's
wants
interested.
It. Somebody's interested. Yep. Isn't that yep. great?
Yep.
1,255,000 downloads.
That's a lot.
Glory
that's
to God.
A lot. Well, Gloria, today.
That's the way, I mean, we still are hungry, and certainly in the beginning of this, we'd have probably gone crazy with 250, with 254,000 downloads. But you know, you have to go over it.
Yeah,
you don't
you do.
Get it. Just
you have to go
it,
over
you
it.
Heard it one
You've
time.
Got to review it. It's just like Peter that said, "I bring you into remembrance of
yes,
these things."
That's right.
Well, we have to go back over and over the basics of these continually. And one of the things I want to talk about today is the aggressive nature of faith, the nature of faith. And the foundation scripture I have for that here is in 1 John 5:4-5.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith."
That's right.
Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
Well, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith is the victory.
Our faith is the victory.
In the Amplified Translation, it says, "This is the victory that conquers the world."
I like that.
"Even our faith." So the nature of faith, if you look at the word faith in the Greek, it's the word pistis, and it means forward, directed, and aggressive. It's an aggressive
forward,
force.
Forward, directive or directed?
Directed, forward, directed.
Forward, directed.
Always moving forward, always reaching out to the goal, always reaching forward until its goal is fulfilled. And it boldly takes what rightfully belongs to it.
Amen.
It's an aggressive force.
It's
a tough force. And in Hebrews 10:38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but no. of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We do not draw back. So this aggressive faith, Gloria, it is not passive.
No.
It never takes no for an answer. It never backs up. It never backs down. It never quits. And as you and I have taught, you and I actually taught a 2-week series on bulldog faith a few years ago.
That's a good description of it.
Bulldog faith. Faith is
I
like a bulldog.
I just see that old bulldog not letting go.
He won't let go.
Uh-uh.
He won't let go. And so what I did for you down here is I wrote a little bit about this bulldog faith and comparing it to a bulldog.
Yeah. Okay.
A bulldog is stubbornly aggressive, persistent, and determined. And
you
that's
know, you have to be that way. If you're
you have
yeah,
walk exactly. You have to be that way in your faith. Faith is aggressive. Now, I've watched Brother Copeland through the years, And I remember the time that we were going on daily radio. And the
that
command...
was way back.
That was 1976. And he said, the Lord told him to take this uncompromised message of faith and put it on every available voice. And I remember the directive that he gave. Your brother, Doug, was the executive director at the time. Mm-hmm. And he told Doug, he said, I want to go on every station as fast as possible. Every station.
Wow.
And within the first couple of years, we were on 700 stations. Fastest growing. This was the fastest growing religious broadcaster in history. That's aggressive.
That is aggressive.
That is aggressive.
Yes,
and you have
is.
To be stubbornly aggressive and persistent and determined. If the Lord tells you something like that, get on every available voice in the same way that we're believing for every available voice to this day. I have to personally, as the CEO, I have to be aggressive about it. I have to use my faith and be aggressive about that. I have to be persistent. Yep. I have to be determined. And I have to be to Kenneth like Jonathan's armor bearer was to him. Jonathan's armor bearer said to Jonathan, whatever is in your heart to do, let's do it. Let's
That's
do
strong,
it.
It's strong, isn't it?
It
yeah.
is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So a bulldog is a breed of remarkable ferocity, courage, and a tenacity of grip. I like that. Its jaw, the jaw of a bulldog sticks out, and its nose is indented so that when it bites down on something, it won't let go. It can keep breathing. It can keep breathing. You think about giving a bone to a bulldog, and then, you know, if you like to play with a dog and you try to take that bone out of his mouth, mm-hmm. he will bite down on that bone and keep breathing and will not let go of it. That's exactly the way our faith
yes,
needs to be.
That's right. That's a good picture of it.
We have to be like a bulldog. We bite down on the Word of God and we won't let it go.
That's right.
We won't
Hallelujah.
Let it go. We refuse to let it go. Faith, right. true faith, does not quit. Does not give in.
That's right.
Does not throw in the towel.
That's right.
But true faith keeps going. And like this point five down here at the bottom, bulldog faith says, God's word is mine now.
That's right.
Devil, you can't take it from me. Be assured when this fight is over, I win.
I like that, George.
I win.
That's great.
So that's the nature, Gloria, of faith. It's aggressive. And we're aggressive around here in believing God for the things that we need to have and the things that we must have on our property to be able to fulfill the plan that
that's
God
right.
has. And I encourage each one of you that are listening to us right now, whatever it is that you're believing for, you get aggressive about it. You get into the Word of God. You find your scriptures. Brother Hagin says it, find at least three scriptures that you stand on. And you get those scriptures and you stay focused on the Word of God. You don't waver on that, but you stay with it until you see the desired result.
That's right. That's right.
Too many people have faith in the dreaded outcome as opposed to the desired result.
Yeah.
So now we're going to take a look at the nature, the true nature of faith. And you've taught this so many times before, Gloria, but it so bears repeating. Mark 11, 22 through 24. It says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith mm-hmm. of God, or you can have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain.
Whosoever is a big word.
That's a big word. It is. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, and he shall have
yeah,
whatsoever,
whatsoever
he says.
He says.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them.
That's the word of the Lord.
That's it.
Believe you receive, and
That's
you
it.
Shall have.
And so many times, Gloria, you have preached about this. And let me give them the definition of the word receive in the Greek. The word receive in the Greek means to take it with much force. That's what faith does. Faith takes it with much force. It seizes it with a grip that cannot be shaken off.
Yeah.
That's that bulldog.
Yeah.
Taking it, biting down. You have to bite down on the word. The word of healing, for instance, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed.
Praise God.
Faith will bite down on that word and will not let go.
That's right.
Will not give up, will not quit. And I remember, Gloria, back in 1989, going into 1990, the ministry was $6 million behind.
Where's the bulldog?
And it was a tough time.
It was awesome, really.
It really was. And tough. I remember very distinctly, because I was executive director back then at that time.
And how did you get that much in debt? Television bills.
The television bills. We had just gone on daily television. And those bills were mounting up. And we got behind in some of our accounts payable, and we got behind in our television bills. So we had reached, by the time, and I figured this out, by the time we hit November of that year, we were at $6 million. So we had to do some...
And we weren't in disobedience. We were
no,
in obedience.
We were in obedience.
We'd been told to do that.
And there are so many people even watching us right now that are in situations that look impossible to them.
Yeah.
But Gloria and I are here as we are a testimony of what God can do in the middle of a situation like that. And we got aggressive, Gloria. One of the things, I know that you and Kenneth were getting aggressive about standing on the Word and confessing the Word over this.
Yes.
And we were getting aggressive on the staff side, where all during the month of December, we would get together in the atrium in the main executive building, first thing in the morning. And we were $6 million behind. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. At that moment, we still owed that money, but we were using our faith. Mm-hmm. And what we did was, for that whole month, every morning, we'd gather together in the atrium and we exercised our faith. We gave praise to God for getting us out of that situation. We worshiped Him. We praised Him. Praise is the language of faith.
Right.
When you give thanksgiving to God, you are confirming that what you're believing for,
He's acted.
He's acting on it.
He's acted on it.
Acted on it.
Thank Him for it.
And we got aggressive. I know, Gloria, for me personally, there was a couple of times when the pressure started getting to me.
Well, you were the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the last word.
The firing line.
Somebody else made the commitment, but now it goes to George.
Yeah. So I remember...
Not let go.
I remember one day I was up in the executive building and I walked out. We have a beautiful patio area that you can overlook the property.
Yeah.
And I walked out behind your office there, and I was looking out over the property. And I got mad at the Lord and said, "How come we have to have so much property to take care of?" And He just laughed at me. The Lord just laughed at me. But you have to get a hold of yourself. You can't let yourself drift. You can't let yourself just go into a depression over that, but you have to stay in faith. And so I got back in faith again. And got aggressive about it. So between you and Kenneth and what we were doing on this side, we were confessing the Word. We were believing God. And you and I were working together, actually. We were actually making decisions to go off of some of the TV stations that we were on at the time. We were double booked on some of those stations. We were showing our broadcast on one station.
Covering the same area twice.
Covering the same territory twice. Yeah. Well, you and I worked through all of that. But something happened when we crossed into 1990. All of a sudden, the income went up.
Praise God.
And we kept believing. We kept using that aggressive bulldog faith. We bit down on the Word of God and did not quit. And we got into that new year, and all of a sudden, the income went up. And when we got to the 1st of May, all of the accounts payable were paid in full.
Praise God.
And then, on July the 10th, at 9 o'clock in the morning, your sister Jan came into my office. She was over the finances, still is, and she had a check in her hand. And she said, "George, This is the final payment of the $6 million.
Praise God.
Well, I called all of the staff together.
That's awesome.
I brought them down into that atrium, and my goodness, we praise God. We worship God together. But you know, it was the goodness of God that got us out of that.
Yes.
But we had our part. And our part
was... We had to walk by faith and not by sight.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we could not afford to give up. You can't afford to give up. You can't afford to quit. You can't afford to throw in the towel and just say, well, this is not going to work for me. You need to order the free product that we have that we're offering to you.
Wow.
About how to develop your faith and get your faith up.
Yes.
There to a level that it's never been before.
We're taking a big step ourselves offering that free.
That's
and
so true.
When you get it, you are obligated to watch it and listen to it and act on it.
That's right.
And come
That's
out.
Right. I remember, Gloria, 2 years ago when Carlene, our producer, called me and said, Brother Copeland just had a word from the Lord. We were on set. I said, what was it? He said, we're going to sew our product from now on. I was like, okay, all right.
As though we didn't have enough problems.
So, but you know what, though? What we did, Gloria,
yeah,
is that seed, and every time we send product out there and give
seed.
It, that seed, that is seed that goes out, and we're calling the harvest back in for that.
Amen.
And, you know, if anybody wants to join us and help us get that product out there, we freely receive offerings around here. But that decision was made, and even to this day, we do not give up. We do not quit. We do not throw in the towel.
You can't quit.
This scripture, number 2 there, it says, Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
In other words, it may take effort.
It may take effort to do it.
And
it may take.
You'll have to produce that effort.
That's right. We'll have to. We take what is ours and we don't
That's
let
right.
go.
Bulldog faith.
And that phrase, to take by force in the Greek, that's the Greek word harpazo. Harpazo. What word do we get from the word harpazo but harpoon?
Harpoon.
We harpoon our prosperity with our faith and we pull it in.
Amen.
You aim that harpoon. When it says here, taking it by force, you aim that harpoon at what you're believing at, and then you pull that, you reel that thing back in with your faith, and you use your faith and say, I've got it.
Yeah.
I've got it in Jesus' name. That healing is mine. That prosperity is mine. Those bills are paid. That debt is paid in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Terry and I, we spent 5 years renovating a house, debt-free. We didn't give up. We didn't quit. And we're living in a debt-free home right now.
Well, just tell me this. Was it worth it?
Was
it worth the effort?
It was worth the effort.
Yes, it was.
It was absolutely worth the effort of everything that it took for us to believe God for that house. And I see what has taken place around here and what you and Kenneth, through faith, have done in God, that
Praise
what
God.
Has taken place. And it says, oh, we just have seconds left. Here, let's do this. Let's read this together,
okay,
that confession down at the bottom. Let's read it
okay.
together.
I make
the quality
decision
to live by bulldog faith.
Now you join us with this.
I take hold of every faith project.
I receive
them all completed ahead of schedule.
I refuse
to quit.
I refuse
to let go. I refuse to give up. I have fully persuaded faith. My faith is aggressive, persistent, and determined. What God has promised, He is able to perform. I see it, I take it, I have it. This is the victory that conquers the world, even my bulldog faith.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen. Good confession. Hallelujah.
Praise
it
God.
It works too. You don't quit. You don't get scared. You keep feeding. You have to continue putting a word in your eyes, your
That's
ears,
right.
and get it down in your heart and out your mouth if you want to walk in victory. Hallelujah. But you can do it. Pastor George is back. Haven't you enjoyed hearing him being stirred up about your faith again?
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
The greatest faith.
Yep, we're
this
talking
is
about
day
the
five.
Greatest faith.
The greatest faith. Welcome, yeah. George.
Gloria, it's so good to be with you, and we've had such a great week this week talking about the development of our faith.
Yes.
And, of course, all of our outlines are available to you, kcm.org. Click to the picture of Gloria and me, and it'll take you to those outlines, not just the ones that we've done here this first week, but also all of them since we began teaching on prosperity. They're all available,
too.
How
has it been?
We have 1,254,000 outlines have been downloaded since we began doing
this.
So people are obviously interested in knowing how to prosper, knowing how to operate in the laws that govern supernatural prosperity.
I'm still interested, but I remember when I was desperately
interested. You were desperately interested.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It worked, too.
Well, what we've been doing this week, I've talked about how at the beginning of the year, I was praying about the vision and all the things that we're doing here and personally and the partners and our congregation. And I asked the Lord, I said, what do we need to do to be able to get those things fulfilled? He said, you're going to have to develop your faith. You're going to have to develop an uncommon faith. And faith can be developed. We looked last week over all of the various levels of faith, from no faith to little faith to strong faith. And now we're talking about the greatest faith, which we'll get into in here in just a moment. But all that to say, our faith must be developed. And there's a way to develop faith to where, I'll use this illustration, you can, when I first started training in the gym, and I started training about 5 years ago on a regular basis, and I've stuck with it this time all these last 5 years. And when I went in there, there was a certain amount of weight that I could lift up. Well, now I can lift up heavier weight. I'm able to do more than I did before. Why is that? Because I developed in that area. Well, you can develop in your faith where you're able to, if you will, lift more, or be able to move more of the mountain, or receive more that God wants you to have. So we all have the same measure of faith. When we were born again, we were given the same measure of faith, and that's important to know. But that measure has to be developed.
Yes, that's right.
So what we've been doing this week, Gloria, is we've been talking about just some basic things about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we've talked about the measure of faith, and we've talked about bulldog faith and the nature of faith. And I wanted to talk about this, and this is the greatest faith.
Okay.
This really is, I would say, the ultimate of where you can go in your faith, and we find it in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. So I want to read that first of all. That'll be our foundation scripture. And I'm reading from my Bible here. And in verse 5 it says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Powerful scripture.
Mm-hmm.
For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And in verse 13 it says, he told the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed. Now, isn't that interesting, Gloria?
Mm-hmm.
As you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
Praise God. That's right.
That's the account of this servant who had what Jesus called the greatest faith. So I put some notes down here on your page here. We can go through these together. But this, I learned this from Brother Copeland many years ago about this greatest faith. The highest form of faith is faith in God's Word and its authority alone.
That's right.
That's the highest, the highest level of faith. The highest, and this, the second one here, the highest form of faith is faith in God's Word as evidence requiring no other proof to support it.
That's right.
Those are the two...
That's awesome.
...definitions, Gloria, that Kenneth gave of what is the highest form of faith. It does not demand physical proof. It just receives what is given to it in the Word of God.
That's right.
Now, I put here the lowest form of faith, or no faith at all in God's sight, is someone who demands a physical sign or manifestation before they will believe. And I gave two examples here. From this one in John 20, Thomas had to see and feel before he would believe.
Yeah.
He wouldn't believe. And that's the lowest form of faith. Show me a sign. Show me some proof. That's the lowest form. And then in Luke 1:18...
And they called him Doubting Thomas.
They called him...
So this is a good definition of doubting.
Yes, demanding to see a sign before you believe.
Yeah.
And you're right, that's where he got the word Doubting Thomas. In Luke 1:18, it says Zacharias needed a sign because all he could think about was his old age. I want a sign that I want to have a child. I want a sign. And so this centurion, though, he was different, Gloria. He was someone that was so different. He had faith in the living Word of God. And he understood the power of the power resident in the spoken Word of God. So let's take a look at this. He was in verse 9, or rather in verse 8. Let's take a look at verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed.
Yes.
I would say, Gloria, that is one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. Speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Doesn't that say something to us about the power of our words?
Yeah.
The words that we speak, the things that come out of our mouths, and how important they are.
Right.
And then he said this. He said, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, what was going on here? This servant, he was a man of authority. And that's on part B there, number one. Mm-hmm. As a man of authority, he commanded his soldiers to come, to go, to do things. As a man under authority, he responded to his superiors in the same way. He would come, he would go, he would do. And I got this from Brother Copeland's notes. The centurion recognized that the disease was subject to what Jesus said as much as his men were subject to what he said. He understood the concept of the authority of the believer.
Yeah.
And Jesus began to recognize that. He said, Lord, you say the word, and my servant will be healed. You say the word of God. I trust that word. That's all I need. I don't need any other proof.
That's right.
I don't even need you to come to my house. He said, all you have to do is speak it. That was a revelation of faith.
Yes.
That nobody else really understood. And Lord, you say the word and my servant will be healed. And he understood the concept of faith. And I looked at this in Mark 11:22, and this is down there at the bottom of that page. He understood the concept of faith. And in Mark 11, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Well, you're making commands, just like this centurion did. He tells his men under him,
yes,
you go, you do this, and you do the same thing with faith. You tell that mountain to move. And you don't need any proof whatsoever that mountain
That's
has
right.
moved. You tell it to move, and on the authority of the Word of God that you speak, that mountain has to move.
That's right.
And I like what Brother Keith Moore has said before about that. He said, don't be moved by what you see. If you don't see that mountain moving, you just know that there is something taking place where that mountain is moving and it's shifting, and at any moment that thing will be cast into the sea.
Praise God.
Well, this centurion understood the authority that he had.
Yeah.
And Jesus recognized that. Well, in verse 24 of Mark 11, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Well, he said to Jesus, I tell this man to go and he goes. I tell another to come and he comes. See, he got it. He got faith.
Yeah.
And it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. Or in other words, come.
Yeah.
You come to me. He understood that authority. In verse 25 of Mark 11, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. That's a release.
Yeah.
That is a release. So this man understood the authority. And here's what happened. It says that Jesus, when he heard it, he marveled.
Yes.
And Gloria, I looked up that word marveled, and that word in the Greek, it means to be stirred. It means to be impressed. Jesus excited this man.
Somebody finally got it.
Somebody finally got it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Somebody finally got it. He mentioned that, and he said that to everybody around him. He said, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. And think about this, Gloria. All of his disciples were standing around him.
Yeah. So what have you been doing?
I thought about that. And he said, he mentioned to everybody, including his disciples, and this... Somebody finally got it. And that's the thing that stirred Jesus. And I heard Kenneth talk about this one time. You can excite Jesus with your faith.
I believe
you can stir him with your faith.
Yeah.
And that great faith is a level that all of us aspire to.
Oh,
and one of the things that we have to learn about great faith is the authority that we have in our words.
That's
the
right.
Authority of the believer. This centurion was a man of authority. He understood authority.
Authority.
I understand authority. I have worked for Gloria Copeland now for 42 years.
You have put up with me for 42 years.
No, and she will tell me to go and I will go, and she will tell me to come and I will come, and she will tell me to do this and I will do that. But I also have people that are now under me, and I tell them to go and to come and to do. I understand the concept of authority, the authority of the believer, and that is key.
And when they do what you say,
mm-hmm.
They get rewarded.
They get rewarded.
They get to keep working on their
That's
job,
right.
And they get paid.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's the way
there's
it works.
Gloria, there's a teaching that Kenneth does called faith, the servant of the believer.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Say, uh-huh.
And he taught about that and how faith is a servant to the believer.
That's true.
We send our faith out there to go do or get or receive or whatever needs to happen. We send that faith out there. It is a servant
That's
to us.
Right. That's right.
So Jesus saw in the centurion, he said, and another thing that I recognized about this, he was walking in an uncommon faith. He was using his faith for somebody else.
Hmm.
See, as I was reading this, Gloria, I'll just share this with you.
Okay, I'd like to hear it.
He says, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, he goes, to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, his servant was sick. He didn't want to lose him. He depended on him. He looked to him. He said, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. He must have so appreciated that servant
Yes. That
he went to Jesus himself, using his faith, not for himself, but he was using his faith for his valuable servant.
Hmm.
And that's another thing. To use your faith for yourself is one thing. But I believe that there's a place where we use our faith to help others.
And we know that's true.
And
yes.
that is the greatest faith. We believe God around here for the finances to be able to help other ministries. And that's where Brother Copeland is a most unusual individual.
He is a most unusual.
This is funny, Gloria. Whenever he'll either call Jan, your sister, or me, or Barry Tubbs, who's an associate minister here, and he'll give them instruction. Now, I want to give this much money to so-and-so, or I want to give this much money to so-and-so. And so Jan will send a text out to my executive team every time Brother Copeland does that, because I want all my team to call in the harvest of everything that is sent from here.
Yes, amen.
But I've been finding lately those texts are coming almost on a daily basis.
He's keeping you busy.
He's keeping us busy. But we're believing God right along with him for the finances to be able to do that. Yeah. So the highest form of faith is not only using faith for yourself, it's using faith for somebody else.
Yes.
And great faith, oh, Gloria, look at this. In number four there,
okay.
Great faith in the Greek. It is a Greek word which means enormous. It means so vast, so large, so long. And that's what Jesus said to that centurion.
Yeah.
He said, I have not seen as enormous faith as I've seen with you. See, that's how we can develop our faith.
That's awesome. Faith as this with anyone, even in Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, even in the whole of Israel, he was walking in the greatest faith possible. And I looked up in verse 11 in the Message translation. It says, this man is the vanguard of many outsiders who will soon be coming from all directions. I looked up the word vanguard. What's a vanguard?
I was wondering about that. What is it?
It's a position at the forefront of new developments or ideas. It's a spearhead, a cutting edge. Mm-hmm. And the centurion was the cutting edge of faith. He was the spearhead of an ultimate realm of faith. Great faith.
Great faith.
Great faith. He was the spearhead of that great faith. And then in verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour.
Praise God.
Gloria, I believe that the Lord is desiring for each one of us as we pursue this. And next week, we're going to get into this even further.
Oh, that'll be good.
Next week, Gloria, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a step-by-step process of how to develop this great faith.
Good.
How do we develop this uncommon faith? And these are the things that the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian church when he said, your faith is growing exceedingly. But these are also the things, and I have my Kenneth Copeland edition Bible right here, and I have all of his notes. And I went back through his notes, and I found out what Brother Copeland taught about how to develop the highest level of faith. And that's what you and I are going to be talking about next week.
Boy,
that's what we're going to be getting into. All of this week, we've talked about what faith was and
so
how...
Shall I bring my Bible?
You should bring your Bible.
Okay.
But I'll bring the notes.
Okay.
It's got all of it in it.
Okay.
But we have the opportunity to develop the highest form of faith. And when a person does that, it is so easy to believe God. It is so easy to receive the things that are necessary to receive.
Amen.
And it's so easy to see the miraculous take place in our lives. Now, I want to show everybody a feature that we produced on a couple, Joshua and Ileana Bulger, and they're partners with the ministry. They pastor a church. And Gloria, they had some needs in their lives, so they sowed a seed towards that need. And before they had the opportunity to sow that seed, miracles, provisional
Praise
miracles
God.
Began to happen. You need to take a look at this. Gloria and I will be right back with you.
I'm Joshua Bulger, and this is my wife, Ileana, and we're from Visalia, California. One day we're at church and we're just dancing, having a good time, and I felt something snap, and I'd torn my meniscus. And so in California, to have that surgery, it was like $12,000 just to have the surgery. It didn't cover the anesthesiologist or the surgery center or anything like that. And so we knew we needed a miracle, and so we knew that we needed to sow a seed.
Yeah, and Tuesday morning, I called my secretary, and I said, I need a $1,000 check. So I need a $1,000 check ready to go. I said, we need to sow a significant seed. On Wednesday, I'm in my bedroom, and I hear him just praising the Lord and crying. And it was a happy cry. I knew it wasn't one of those, like, something bad happened. I just knew something good had happened.
I had a friend that just told me, he said, hey, he said, you know, contact that surgery center. He goes, you don't need to pray no more. He said, I'm sending you a check for $10,000. He said, go and have that surgery.
We just knew God told us to do it. And before we even got it in the ground, the seed had already produced itself. And that's been happening a lot. It's not something that, oh, it's just this one time. It's something that keeps happening. We purpose something in our heart to do for God, and the harvest comes. Because of him having to be out of the pulpit for a while, our attendance fluctuated. Because of our attendance, you know, the income fluctuated for the church. You know, things were getting paid, but things were being late. And we don't have any debt in our ministry, so it's just operating expenses. So I've been believing the Lord and just been believing the Lord. And December 22nd came up, and I spoke to our financial secretary at the office. I said, we need $12,000. I said, to show up today. I said, and it needs to be cash. And she said, well, why does it need to be cash? I said, that money needs to go into our church account in cash. I said, because if it goes in as a check, they might want to hold it. And I said, and it's Saturday, Monday's Christmas. We won't be able to do the things that we have to do by tomorrow. And she said, okay. So we prayed. I walked inside at 12:30, an hour later. I get a phone call from her, and she's screaming. A lady in the church had gotten a check from a huge, huge, huge settlement. And she wanted, because of the way that the check was drawn, this is totally God too, because of the way the check was drawn, she was able to go into the bank that it was drawn off of and cash this large check to be able to sow, because they wanted to sow $13,000, and they wanted their seed in the ground, and she wanted to go to the office to get it recorded that it was in the bank before, I think it was in our bank account by 9:30. The bank's opened at 9. Well, what blesses me the most is that that check had to come in the mail. And so that was already in the mail before at 11:30. I'm sitting there going, okay, Lord.
You know our need.
You know what needs to happen. And we need to go into this next year, right? And so, I mean, just God has been doing things like that over and over again. And January 2nd, my husband and I were going to go to Australia to drop our daughter off. She's doing missions work there at a church. And, you know, in the back of your head, the enemy comes. And I to tell you, well, you're leaving January 2nd. What if there's lack? You know, you're the pastors. You need to be here. All these thoughts were coming to my mind. And I said, Lord, you need to take care of this, because I can't leave to Australia to spend this quality last 2 weeks with my daughter. We're sowing her into another ministry. To spend these weeks with my daughter thinking about what's happening at home. So I'm sitting there at 8:35 and I get a phone call from my secretary at home. And then she said, I sent you balances and everything. And I said, okay. So I had a choice, either check the balances, check what's going on now, or wait for 17 hours, you know. And I thought, well, I might as well know now. So I look and everything's paid. By January 2nd, everything is taken care of. Everything is paid. And God is just doing things like that over and over again.
Our partnership with KCM has taught us how to, on purpose, enjoy a good life and not only be blessed, but to be put into a position to truly be a blessing to others. And we're just grateful for it. It'll work for anybody.
Yeah.
It'll work for anybody.
Within the heart of every believer is a desire, a knowing even, that they are meant to expand, to occupy new territories with no limits or boundaries. Living an expanding and conquering life requires uncommon faith, the kind of faith that believes and receives the fullness of God's plan, joy, peace, prosperity, healing, and wisdom, all on an uncommon level. Our capacity is unlimited. Development is required. Learn how to develop this kind of faith with the Uncommon Faith Package. These broadcasts and study notes will provide a strategic plan to take your faith from whatever level it's at and move it higher. Faith School by Gloria Copeland will help answer questions you may have about faith and will teach you how to create your world with your words. Kenneth Copeland teaches you to know with certainty that faith provides your victory in every situation. Learn how you can develop and activate your uncommon faith.
You can develop uncommon faith. Be sure to request your free Uncommon Faith package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Learn how to create your world with your own words of faith. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, He takes His faith and imparts it into our hearts.
Oh, what a gift.
That measure of, what a gift. And that's what Ephesians says, Gloria. It is a gift of God. Praise Would you God. Like to receive a gift from God right now? It's the easiest thing to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to confess Him as
Praise
Lord.
God.
Gloria, let's lead them in
okay,
this right
you
now. You repeat it after
follow.
Me. Okay. Put your hand over your heart and say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
I receive Jesus.
I receive Jesus.
As my Lord and my Savior.
As my Lord and my Savior.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Fill my life.
Fill my life.
Fill my life with your love.
Fill my life with your love.
And with your faith.
With your faith.
Do something special.
Do something special.
With my life.
With my life.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
It was as simple as that to receive Jesus.
It's a decision.
It is a decision.
Glory
it is
to
a
God.
Decision. And we have a book, Gloria, that we want to give yes. to them. It's called He Did It All For You. It's a book that you and Kenneth wrote. And then there's some brochures in here, how to study the Bible, reading through the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs in a year. And we have, if you go to our website, kcm.org, there's much material that's available to you to be able to begin your study of the Word of God.
We are providing the study notes from our teaching free. Go to kcm.org/notes. The notes for the broadcast will include the key points, scriptures, prayers, interactive questions. These notes follow along with us or for your personal Bible study or to teach a small group, something like that. It'll help you just immerse yourself deeper into the study of the Word. I'm telling you, this is good stuff, man.
What an amazing testimony that is. Gloria, the thing that really, really got me about this testimony is that they had a need in their lives, and the first thing they said was, we need to sow a seed. And even before the seed hit the ground, the manifestation
Praise
of the finances
God.
That they needed kept came. I mean, we are in that time right now of supernatural abundance and happenings where sowing of seed is concerned. And it made me think about this scripture in Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And that's exactly what happened to this family. They barely got the seed in the ground and the finances started coming to them. And I want to take a moment.
Praise
I want
God.
To pray. I want to pray for the people, all of you who are so faithful, our partners, what wonderful partners we have.
Amen.
And how faithful they are to this ministry. I'm telling you, this belongs to you. And those of you, I believe that people that are sowing seed right now and you're getting ready to sow your seed, I believe that finances are coming to you right now because God sees the heart.
Praise
Father,
God.
In Jesus'
Thank
name, we
you,
pray
Lord.
Over every partner. They're using their faith, Lord, and they're seeing miraculous
yes.
things take place in their lives. Every bill paid, every need met,
Praise
every
God.
Debt wiped out in the name of Jesus. We receive the promise of your
it.
Word, and we take it
yes.
by faith in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Praise
Good
God,
job,
Gloria.
George. If you missed any of the broadcasts this week, watch them free on kcm.org or our Roku channel. You know the words out there. You don't have any excuse for not growing up and becoming stronger and stronger and greater in your faith. Be sure to download the free broadcast study notes on kcm.org/notes. This Sunday is Mother's Day. Be sweet to your mother every day, but yep. today, give her presents. Call your mother and let her know you love her. Join us again on Monday, learning about the steps to developing
uncommon faith. I like that, George. I like it. This is Gloria Copeland and George Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.